Tantunakuta, in the first place, I would like you to give me a definition of privatization. What is it?
Privatization, it's putting a public company into private hands. That's a simple definition of a privatization.
We've seen here in Malawi a lot of companies being placed in the hands of private people or the private sector. One would want to know, what are the benefits of privatizing publicly owned companies?
First of all, we have to appreciate the background of how those companies became public and now they are being privatized. I think privatization of public company ownership relates to our independence era. When there was that move of Africanization, you find that the governments wanted to do away with everything from the colonialists. So what they did was to come up with their own companies. It was like kind of an inward-looking approach to development. So they had state-owned companies to deal with transport, to deal with agriculture production, to deal with even manufacturing, so that they didn't want to depend in any way on the foreign countries or their colonialists. So that's why there was this mushrooming of publicly owned companies. That is, at least in the respect of Africa. Now, these companies, as the years went by, some of them could not perform. They were now and again depending on government resources, which government resources, they come from tax. So a time came with the globalization process and also democratization, the whole dismantling of controls of government and the like that. Even in the company ownership point of view, governments saw it fit that companies that can operate on their own commercial and make profits, they should be in private hands. And because the private individual has a profit motive, and a profit motive in this case, it has to be understood that it's not wrong for a person to have a profit motive, because a lot of people, they say, okay, private sector, it's a profit motive, so they will kill. Once they get that company, they will make it unaffordable. That is not the case. A profit motive is what develops economies. If we are not making profits, we will not grow. So that's why government said, okay, this company is sick or it has problem or it can do better in the private hands. We have to privatize it. That is one angle. It's the profit motive. Government would like to utilize that profit motive in order to ensure growth. Secondly, it's a process of empowering the individuals. You take a public company, sell it to private people. That means you are empowering the private people themselves. And maybe in this privatization, there would be a combination of locals and foreigners. And at the end is that you have empowered your own individuals. So it's an empowering process on the other hand.
Who really benefits from this process, from this privatization thing?
In my view, everyone benefits. Okay, let's look from the government point of view. Once that company is sold, okay, resources, they get resources. But that is one off benefit. The second level of benefit is that once that company is in private hands and it is growing, that company will definitely pay tax to government. So government will be benefiting from taxes. Taxes from company tax, taxes from the employees of that company. Now another group that benefits its employees. Okay, there is in any way, when a company moves from public hands to private hands, what we have seen that there is a retrenchment, what we call retrenchment. But I can use a terminology which I like, that is relocation of employees. You are removing employees that were not giving profit to the company and relocating them elsewhere. They have to find their own place.
They are known in this case. When you say they are relocated, they are removed the place of their work and they relocated to somewhere where they don't even know.
It's the system. See, when you are relocating resources, means that you are putting resources where they can produce properly. Instead of just keeping people in a company and receiving peanuts, you are saying retrench and they should find somewhere to work. So in that way, you are streaming your company. So yes, there is a retrenchment, but the people that remain in that company, I believe studies of several companies that have been privatized, the employees, they are in a better position than they were when the company was in public hands. Because in the first place, that company, when it is privatized, most of the companies, they are in problems. Either they are subvented by government, so which means that their benefits as employees, they are not as they would be when they are in private hands.
As you rightly saying, some of these companies that are disposed to the private sector are those that are sailing in troubled waters. So how do these new owners benefit from this privatization?
The new owners benefit in the sense that they have been given an opportunity to run the company following private principles. So they are able to turn around the company. Like in Malawi, we can give an example of companies that have been privatized and they are doing fine. Cold Storage SA, which was broken between Lilongwe and Blantyre. These companies, they are doing fine. Previously, Cold Storage, meat was not there. Sausage, there wasn't even processing of the products. But today, you're going to find meat when you go to Cold Storage. You're going to find processed products from meat, sausages, and the like from Cold Storage. That is an improvement. I can mention of other companies like Delibod. Delibod was troubled at that time. Today, it was broken again between components in Blantyre, another company by Delibod in Lilongwe Daily. The Blantyre one, the Delibod, is doing fine. And you have just heard they have even bought another company in Mulanje, the fruit canning company, which was dead. It means that they are growing and they will be employing by resustaining that company again. Talk of grain and milling. Grain and milling was totally, there was no company, but these people picked it, and today we have Milimili in the shop, and they have invested in state-of-the-art machines in that company. So there are several examples. We have just mentioned that small companies like Sochi Tours, these are the fruits of our privatization. So in a sense, if you took you analyze properly the companies that were privatized in the past 10 years, today, most of them, they are doing fine.
How about the customers or the public? How do they benefit?
It benefits, they are going to be looked in two ways. Most of the times, those that are anti-privatization, they look at the price. But I can take an example of telecommunication services to prove that the issue is not price. The issue is availability of a product or a service. MTL was in government hands, and the arguments were saying, okay, if you privatize it, those that are poor will not benefit from it. But really, those that benefit from MTL or landlines and the like, they are those that are well-to-do already. You will not find a phone in my village, but at least you will find a mobile phone in my village. A mobile phone is considered to be expensive than a landline. But why do people go for mobile phone? They go for mobile phone because it is available. So it's not the price. I'm saying that the benefits are two. Prices at the beginning could be high, but as the production goes on, you'll find that those prices stabilize. Second, it's availability of the service. I've talked of the products like meat in the cold storage sector, daily products. You'll find that these products are available and people are accessing them. That's the benefit. You have an availability of a service, you have an availability of a product, which was not there when the company was not in private hands.
How about now the employees in that particular organization that has been privatized? How do they benefit from privatization?
In any privatization, there are losers, there are winners. But you assess who are winning. Those that should win, there should be more. Definitely, when you are privatizing a company, others fall out. And I mentioned earlier that this is a relocation system. Any economic system has to reallocate its resources appropriately. So if in a company a newcomer comes, he's a private guy, and he sees that a certain line was not bringing any good to the company, definitely you have to check out. In fact, you are saying that you were just kept there, but you are not contributing anything to this company, and later on to government, who gets taxes from this company, and later on to the economy. So you have to relocate them, you have to retrench them. So those are the negative sides of privatization. But in the end, we have found out that, okay, there would be retrenchment in the first place. But as the company puts on its new base and it starts to grow, you find that the employment comes back, it starts re-employing, and the employment increases. So the retrenchment in this case, it's to create a base for growth. And once that base is created, you are bound to employ more in order to increase to grow. Because any company that wants to grow, it has to use human resource. It has to use whatever resources are available. And human resources is one of the important. So we have seen that these companies that were that retrenched when handover was done, they are increasing their employment. And that is one indicator again. So it's a temporary loss, but later on it is brought back to life.
We've seen that privatization has not been welcomed by many here in Malawi. Why do you think the working class resisted privatization in the past?
It's a natural instinct in a human being that he's not sure of the future. So whenever a new person is coming, or whenever a new move is taken, he would like to resist that. It's an instinct built in a person. You are not sure of your future. You are getting bread from the current situation, but later on you are told that, okay, we are privatizing, and you are not sure that whether you'll still hold to that job or to that source of bread, to that source of livelihood. So it's an instinct in a human being to resist. But, you know, you're going to say, okay, let's not privatize. But at the end, that thing will still crash if you don't privatize. So in the end, you will still lose. So it's better to shock yourself by privatizing now rather than waiting for the crash. Because when you take action now, when you take the medicine now, the pills, the likelihood that you will get healed is there. But if you don't and you crash, the likelihood that you will die and be forgotten, it's high. So, yes, it has been resisted because it's naturally a person is not sure of where his livelihood will come from if he loses that job, if it happens that he is one of the retrenched. And it is human nature. Human nature says, feel comfortable where you are. You shouldn't take risks.
We've seen a lot of companies going into private hands here in Malawi. But there have been a lot of, say, on some other sectors, saying these other activities should not be placed into private hands. In your own opinion, Mr. Ntonakuta, what activities do you think should not be privatized?
The main criteria of defining that this company should be privatized, this company should not, is that, okay, who benefits from the activity? An activity which will create, we call it monopolies. It's not encouraged. Let's take Eskom. If you say, okay, I'll put Eskom into private hands, it's a monopoly. That means it will dictate the prices and whatever. But there is another twist which is coming, how to deal with such companies or such activities, like utilities, water, electricity. There is, because you look at the chain, the privatization that is coming to there, it's looking at the chain. In electricity, there is generation, there is transmission, there is distribution. So what is encouraged to deal with such government companies that the privatization should be in the form of breaking the company. In this case, one company should be in charge of generation. Another one should be just transmitting. And there would be several distributing. So in that way, you are increasing efficiency along the chain. That's a form of privatization, how to deal with these activities that can likely create monopolies. The same with water. There should be one pumping and treating the water. And from there, another one will buy that water on wholesale and start retailing it. So you break it in that way, because there will be, on the retail side, there will be a lot of them competing. I'll be doing this area. If you disappoint me, the customer will be able to say, okay, I will connect to another one.
So in your explanation, are you trying to say that there's no any other activity that you feel should not be privatized?
Definitely. How privatization has advanced. You can definitely privatize almost everything, except maybe the army or the police.